Hey everybody, it's Ty the Dog Trainer, and I'm back with another installment on How to Train Your Dog. And so what I wanted to cover today is actually a really fun one. Well, all training should be fun, but in today's topic especially, we're going to be working on something that's really fun, things that you can do with your puppy. So great activities you can enjoy with your puppy. There's so many of them out there, and so many people are often very overwhelmed with all the house training and all the training the puppy not to chew and not to bite, training the puppy not to do these things that they sometimes forget that they should be having fun with their puppy. And I know a lot of people get into the mindset that, oh, we'll have fun with that puppy when he's late, when he's older. You know, we'll have fun a year from now. But now, we've got to buckle down and get this training done. Well, yes, there is a lot of training that needs to be done with a young puppy, but don't forget to have some fun. So the first, let me just go through a bunch of activities that you can enjoy with your puppy that really helps the bond and really helps your puppy grow up to be the dog you were hoping he would be when you first got him. First thing you really want to do is work on obedience, obedience, obedience. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they're speaking to me about their dog training efforts, they say, oh, my puppy knows all the tricks. You know, he'll shake, he'll roll over, and he'll do this. And one of the questions I ask is, okay, how well does he sit and stay? How well does he walk on a leash? Oh, well, we haven't done those. Well, work on obedience first. It really is the most functional. And there's so many great things that happen when you teach your dog obedience. It just starts your puppy off on the right foot. It starts your puppy off on the foot where he understands the concept of listen to commands that come from you. You know, instead of waiting until he's a year old before you start to teach him these things, start teaching him from a young age so he gets in the habit of being obedient. The other thing that obedience does is it's very mentally stimulating. Mentally stimulating in the sense that it's a challenge, it's difficult, but difficult in a good way. We want difficult things for our puppies because we want to challenge them, because it's only through challenge that we see growth. You know, it's I kind of see the young puppy's brain as a muscle. If you stress it properly, it has no choice but to grow. And in this case, stressing properly means, you know, having your puppy do obedience training, requiring him to learn things. And if you do that, the brain, you know, the mentality of the dog has no choice but to grow. And that means that as the puppy continues getting older and more mature, his capacity for learning new things is better and is greater because you started training from such a young age. And so that's one reason why I like to start obedience from the get-go, you know, from 8 weeks old. Now, it's at this age, it's very fun, it's very motivational, you know, it's that type of training, but it is very, like I say, mentally stimulating in the sense that the dog has to grow. Along the same lines, obedience training is very calming for a puppy. Think about it. You know, think about the things that you do that are mentally stressful, that are mentally difficult, that are mentally challenging, tough. You know, think about the time that you spend at work working on a report. Perhaps you're dedicating 2 straight hours to that report. Think about how you feel when you're done. You know, for the most part, you're sitting down working on your computer, in this case. But by the time you're done, you're exhausted. I mean, you didn't really even do anything, but you're exhausted. Because mentally, you really had to put forth a lot of effort. You know, think of other things like that. For example, I speak Spanish. I'm not a native speaker. I lived in Spain for a couple years, and I picked up the language while I was there. But speaking Spanish as my second language, it can be a challenge. It's difficult when, let's say, for example, I'm speaking with somebody, a friend, or speaking on the telephone for a little while, or maybe working with a dog owner for a couple hours that speaks Spanish. By the time I'm done, physically I haven't done anything, but mentally my mind has been in overdrive for hours or minutes or a while or whatever, and as a result, now physically I'm exhausted. And so one of the main things people complain about with their puppies is that they've got so much energy, it's constantly go, 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 go. Well, one of the ways to help with that problem, one of the ways to help with that is to engage in obedience training. Because again, it's mentally stimulating, and as a result, that means it's physically tiring. And when you have a puppy that's now physically tired, he's much more calm. Oftentimes, you know, I might work with a puppy for a half hour on something, or maybe even a little bit longer if somebody's asking me to help them with their dog. And by, you know, one thing that people will say is, man, after we were working with the dog the other day, he fell asleep for hours. And so if this describes you and your dog, that you're frustrated because your puppy is just all over the place crazy, well, start some obedience training. It's going to be a great way to tire him out and a great way to bond with him. One of the other reasons I like obedience training from a young age is because it starts the puppy off on the right foot as far as relationship goes. Too many times people run into problems, behavior problems, as the dog gets older. You know, perhaps the dog is 10 months old, a year old, 2 years old, what have you. And the dog starts to have problems because he never understood the proper relationship, meaning the owner is the one that's in charge and the puppy is the follower. And one reason puppies don't understand that concept is because they aren't taught that concept. A lot of people are under the impression that this is just what dogs understand. Dogs recognize that they're, you know, the owner's the master. Well, guess what? Dogs don't usually just understand that. Most dogs are going to take the leadership position unless somebody else actively takes that position for them. And so, in any case, by working on obedience training, this is one way to establish proper relationship. Because what happens is your puppy gets used to sitting when you tell him to sit, lying down when you tell him to lie down, coming when you tell him to come, waiting when you tell him to wait, healing when you tell him to heal, etc., etc., etc. Your puppy gets used to listening to your commands, and that's how you get leadership. You're going to read a whole bunch of convoluted ideas on the internet about how to achieve dominance with a dog, everything from flipping them on their back to growling at them to to dominating them, things like this. These things just don't work. What does work is just simple obedience training. Teaching your puppy the concept of listening to your commands, and this is where leadership happens. So like I say, first activity to enjoy with your puppy, obedience training. So critical, so important, yet so often overlooked. People think they'll do it later. Well, start now. Start at 8 weeks of age and get your puppy started off on the right foot or paw, I guess. Okay, second thing that I like to play with puppies, second fun activity is hide and seek. Now, a lot of you might be familiar with dogs that are called search and rescue dogs. And if you're not familiar, what a search and rescue dog is it's a dog that's trained to go find people that are lost in the woods, that are lost on the ski slopes, that are lost anywhere in an outdoor area. It's called search and rescue, and the dogs are trained to kind of hone in on a scent, and basically just track that scent and go find them. Now, the way to teach that is the way that I like to teach hide and seek. So were you to ever want to go on and when your dog is an adult, have your dog become a search and rescue dog, this is how you would start. If you don't have any care in the world to have your dog be a search and rescue dog, that's fine too. But this is just a fun game. It's a fun game of hide and seek, and it teaches your puppy how to use his senses. How to use his sense of smell, how to use his sense of sight. Everybody knows that dogs have very powerful senses of smell, but one thing that a lot of people don't know is that for the most part, they need to be trained how to use those senses in a practical way. If your puppy was put out there in the wild, he would learn to use those senses when it comes to hunting game and when it comes to doing those things. But to do other activities like searching out your kids or playing hide and seek, this is things that need to be trained, that your puppy needs to learn. And so what you want to do is you can make this a two-person game. Start out having one person hold your puppy, and perhaps that's your spouse, perhaps that's your child, perhaps that's your friend. So that person's holding the puppy, and what you do is you go in front of the puppy, and you get him really excited, hey, buddy, and so now your puppy is straining, and he's trying to get to you, and he's barking, and he's having a good time, and he just wants to get over there, and you're saying, hey, pal, come on, and then what you do is you quickly just run out of sight, literally like 5 feet. Run around the corner. And the second you're out of sight, the person holding the puppy lets him go and says, find him, or search, or whatever word you want to use. And as the puppy comes around the corner, there you are, and you praise him really heavily, and you pet him. Now, if your puppy is really big into treats, you give him a treat. If your puppy is really big into tennis balls or toys, the second he finds you, you're tossing a tennis ball for him or a toy for him so he can go get that as well. So not only does he find you, but he gets the added benefit of the reward of the tennis ball or the treat, depending on what your puppy likes the most. Now, as your puppy gets good at this game, what you can do is you can now go a little bit further. And next time you go a little bit further, and gradually you increase the distance that the puppy has to search for you. Beyond that, gradually you increase the time that you're gone before you start. You know, initially, the second you're out of sight, that person's letting the puppy go. As time goes on, you wait a minute before the person lets the puppy go. You wait 2 minutes, you wait 5 minutes, longer and longer and longer. You also increase the amount of obstacles or barriers that your puppy has to overcome in order to get to you. You know, the amount of twists and the amount of turns.
You go into deeper areas in the forest. You go into more difficult areas, difficult terrains, to where the puppy really has to search to find you. And the more you do this, the more the puppy starts to realize he has to use all of his senses. He has to use the sense of hearing to listen for you. He's got to use the sense of smell to smell you out. He's got to use the sense of sight. He's got to use all of his senses together, working as one to find you. And this is actually a very effective way, like I said, to teach search and rescue. But it's also a very fun way to have just a good time with your puppy. And so now, along those lines, there's another game that you can teach your dog, and that's tracking. Now, tracking is different from hide-and-seek or search and rescue. What tracking is where the dog is using mostly just his nose. He's using mostly his nose, and he's going very methodically along what's called a scent trail. In this case, the scent trail is you or your kids or, like I say, anybody that's a member of your family or friends. I just wanted to make the distinction. Hide and seek or search and rescue uses basically all the senses, whereas tracking really more hones in on the dog's sense of smell. Now, in order to teach a dog to track, here's what you want to do. First of all, find the treat that your dog loves the most that he can eat really quickly. Usually for this, I like to use hot dogs. Cut up hot dogs, actually pretty small. You don't want them too big because your dog's going to get, or your puppy rather, is going to get full really quickly. You're going to have a hard time, working more than 20 seconds because he's going to eat a big chunk of hot dog and say, okay, I'm full. So cut them pretty small. And what you want to do is you want to make a scent pad to start out with. And so what that is maybe 18 inches by 18 inches on the grass. You just trample down trample down with your feet about 18 inches by 18 inches of grass. And within that 18 inches by 18 inches, you're going to, in just random spots, toss out a good handful of hot dogs. And then what you're going to do is you're going to bring that puppy to that spot, and you're going to tell him to track. You're going to tell him track or search or whatever word you want to use. It doesn't matter what word you want to use. Just tell him the command. And as you do so, use your finger and indicate to the ground, hey, this is where I want you to look. And you tell him track, 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 or search, search, search. And so as he's sniffing around eating the little pieces of hot dogs, you keep repeating, track, search, good boy, good boy. And just really encouraging to get those hot dogs. Now, at first, he's not understanding what's happening. He's just thinking that somebody dropped some hot dogs. But in a second, I'm going to explain what happens. Now, as your puppy starts to realize that when you say track, that you need to put your nose to the ground because there's going to be some good treats down there, now you can start him down the process of footstep tracking. And so what you want to do is from that scent pad, you want to do the scent pad a bunch of times. Once he's got that down, then from the scent pad, what you'll do is you'll take one step off of the scent pad. And it's a baby step. You're not going to take a big, long stride. It's just going to be one step in any given direction. And in that step, you're going to place one piece of hot dog. And so after he's done the scent pad, you keep encouraging him to go, and he gets into that one footstep, and he gets his piece of hot dog. Now, as he gets that very well, what you're going to do is you're going to make a second step. And it's a baby step, not too big. And then soon you're going to be doing a third step and a fourth step. And so he's going to start with his scent pad, and he's going to start tracking where your footsteps were. Now, right now, you're putting a hot dog in every single footstep. And as he starts to do better, what you're going to do is you're going to gradually add turns, where you change directions. It's going to be a slight turn at first, and soon it's a bigger turn, and soon it's a 90-degree turn, or what have you. And as your dog starts to get that, then what you can do is you can gradually reduce the amount of treats. And so at this point, you're putting less hot dogs in the scent pad, but still a hot dog in every single footstep. And as he does good, then maybe one or two hot dog pieces in the scent pad. And then as he's doing well there, then what you'll do is every couple footsteps you don't put in the hot dog. And then after he does well there, you take away another hot dog from another footstep. And soon what happens is you get to the point where maybe there's no hot dogs on the scent pad, and only randomly there's going to be a hot dog in your footstep. And at this point, your dog is going to start to realize, oh, it's not really the hot dogs that I'm searching for. If I can track his scent is going to lead me to the next hot dog. And if that happens, I'm in great shape. And so this is how you want to teach your dog to gradually, just get better and better at footstep tracking. And if you can do this, you'll get to the point to where you can remove the hot dogs entirely. And perhaps at the end, you give him a big treat. At the end, there's a big pile of hot dogs, or at the end, there's a tennis ball, or at the end, there's something really fun. Now, this type of tracking takes a whole lot more mental energy than the search and rescue type, because the dog is so focused, he's so keyed in on what he's supposed to be doing, that, it, like I say, it takes so much more out of him. And so with search and rescue, you'll be able to progress to a half a mile, you know, fairly quickly. With footstep tracking, not so much. You know, your dog won't be capable of that quite so quickly. Regardless, these are both fun things to train with your dog. Search and rescue, hide and seek, tracking, these are ways to take the natural instincts, you know, the senses, sight, smell, sound, take the senses that your dog has and teach them a really cool and fun way to use those senses. Okay, so we've talked so far about obedience, we've talked about search and rescue, we've talked about footstep tracking. Another thing that you can do with your young puppy is basic agility. Now, do make sure this is basic agility. Now, the reason I say that is you want to be careful when you're doing any agility. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what agility is, this is where the dog jumps over hurdles, climbs up objects, climbs down objects, goes through objects, things like that. You need to be very careful with a young puppy, especially some of the bigger breeds that are prone to having hip problems, hip dysplasia, elbow dysplasia, back problems, any of these dogs that are prone to having issues. You don't want to put too much stress on a young puppy's joints from a young age. And so for some dogs, you might want to forego this activity altogether. But or if you are going to do it, you want to do it very basic. For other dogs, however, you know, maybe a small dog like a Jack Russell Terrier puppy or, you know, a Beagle puppy or something like that that aren't as prone to these joint issues, you can start doing some fun basic agility. Now, the way to do that is to head to your local park. At your local park, you're going to have park benches. You're going to have playground equipment. You're going to have tunnels. You're going to have who knows what else. You're going to have just tons of stuff. And what you want to do is take your puppy to that park on a leash and start having him get on that stuff. Have him teach him to jump by getting him to jump onto the park bench. Teach him to go through things by you're on one end of the tunnel while your friend is on the other end of a tunnel with a treat, encouraging him to come through. And as he comes through the tunnel, he gets the treat. Encourage him to go over playground equipment. Encourage him to just do these fun things that he can be successful at and he can enjoy doing. Because if you do this, a couple things happen. Number one, agility is one of the best ways to build confidence in a dog. I've seen dogs that are just nervous and dogs that have issues. That as they get involved in agility, they start to see, man, look at what I can do. And think about it. The same thing happens with you or people in general, that as they accomplish a task and are rewarded for that task, they feel better. The same thing happens with your puppy. And so you want to give him tasks that he can do well and be rewarded for, and agility is just one of them. Like I say, agility happens to be just a great bonding exercise and a great self-esteem boost for your puppy. And so that's one reason I like it. But the other reason I like it is it really teaches dexterity and it teaches coordination to the puppy. You know, not that that's the end of the world if your puppy's a little clumsy, but for a lot of dogs, it's really nice to have this extra dexterity and to be able to just do cool things. And so that's what I say. That's one reason why I really like to do agility training, because it really builds the confidence and builds the dexterity of the puppy. Don't go too fast. Don't expect too much. Don't have your puppy jumping off high objects himself. But definitely, you know, just have your puppy get out there and start experiencing these things and being comfortable around all sorts of different types of objects. It's great for socialization. Okay, so we've talked about obedience, search and rescue, tracking, basic agility. Another thing that you can do is teach your puppy tricks. One trick that I like to teach puppies is how to speak on command. Now, here's how you do it. What you want to do is you want to put your puppy on a leash or a tie-out and attach the leash to a tree or to a fence or something like that, where the puppy has limited mobility. He can only get to a certain spot. Now, you kind of measure where that spot is, and what you do is you take an object that your puppy likes more than anything. Maybe it's a tennis ball, maybe it's a treat, maybe it's just attention, maybe it's being next to you. And what you'll do is you'll go just out of your puppy's range, and you'll tease him. Now, you're going to tease him, but not in a mean way or a mean-spirited way. You're just going to take that ball, and you're going to bounce it, and, hey, puppy, do you want the ball? You're going to take that treat and you're going to wave it back and forth. You're going to do something to kind of, build his desire to get that object. Now, as you're doing this, you're giving him the command. Now, whatever your command is, doesn't matter. Speak, talk, bark, whatever command you want to give. As you're bouncing the tennis ball, speak, speak, speak. You know, you're saying these words. Now, initially, your puppy has no clue why you're saying speak. Of course, he has no concept. But now, the second he gives you any little vocalization, any little whine or bark or anything, you immediately toss him the ball and say, good boy, good boy. He gets the ball, and now he's rewarded. Now, of course, he's not going to know why that all happened, but here's what you do. You do it again. You take the ball away, and you bounce it. Speak, speak, speak. And say the command over and over and over. And as he just finally gets too frustrated and he barks because he wants that ball, he gets the toy. Now, if you do this a handful of times, puppies are going to start to realize, oh, I get it. Every time I bark, they throw me that tennis ball. Okay. And so now as he starts to hear the word speak, he's going to be much more prone to barking right away. And so, like I say, this is how you teach the word speak. I've seen people do it without anything at all. The puppy just wants to be so close to the owner that the puppy speaks, the owner comes back and gives him praise. You do want to be careful about this, obviously, because you're going to teach, you could potentially teach the puppy to, just bark whenever he wants your attention. Make sure you only do this with a command. It's only on command when you say speak or anything like that the dog can get attention from you. Another one that some people like, not everyone likes this one, some people are actually really dislike this one, but you can teach your puppy to kiss on command, kiss your cheek on command. And the way that you do that is just at random parts, random times during the day, put a little bit of, a little dab of butter on your cheek and give your dog the command kiss or whatever command you like. Me personally, I don't train this command. I don't want my dogs kissing me, but a lot of people like this. So put that butter on there, tell your dog kiss. And as you do so, kind of put your cheek near him. And oh wow, look, there's butter. He realizes it and he licks it off. Again, the first couple times your dog has no concept, but soon if you do this at random times throughout the day, your puppy's going to realize, oh, every time he says kiss, there's something on his cheek. And so as you say kiss, the puppy starts looking at your cheek and starts, giving you a little kiss on the cheek. And after time, what can happen is you can remove the butter, remove the need for the butter. Don't even put it on there. You say kiss, the puppy licks your cheek, and you just praise him. Good boy, that's what I was after. Good job. And so that can be a fun trick. Again, this isn't for everybody. Some people, come to me and they say, how can I get my dog to stop licking me? but this is one great way to get your dog to give you a kiss if that's what you like. Shake. Shake is another fun one. Get your dog to shake paws or shake hands or whatever you want to call it. Here's how you do it. You get your puppy to sit on his rear and grab a treat. Again, I like hot dogs for this one because the puppy can eat them up real quick. And what I'll do is I'll kind of palm the treat so that the puppy can't get to it, but he can look at it, get really interested in it, really try to go after it. What I'll do is I'll just kind of palm it, get him really interested, and as I do so, I'm saying the word shake, 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 just every second or two, shake, shake. And as I do so, I'm gradually reaching for his paw. And as I reach for his paw, and the second that paw leaves the ground at all, boom, my hand comes open, and the dog gets the treat. And what's going to happen is your dog, again, just like everything else, at first he's going to have no clue what's happening or why it's happening or what he can do to get that treat. But what he's going to start to do, he's going to start to associate his foot coming up with the treat being released. And so as your puppy starts to get it, initially you're kind of having to grab the paw entirely and kind of even pull on it so that it comes up off of the ground. Now as he starts to get better and better and better, what you want to do is you want to use a little bit less pressure. A little bit less pressure, a little bit less pressure, to where you're barely just touching his paw and saying shake and he's offering it. And once he's doing that, then what I'll do is I'll bring my hand down and I'll put it within about 2 inches of his paw. I won't even touch it and I'll say shake. Now some puppies are going to have a hard time at first because they're used to you touching their paw, but you just put it right near his paw, you say shake, 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 eventually he gets a little bit frustrated so he lifts up his paw, and as that happens, boom, the treat comes out. And then as he gets good at that, then I'll put my hand within 6 inches of his paw and reward him once he shakes. And then once he does good with that, I'll put my hand within a foot of his paw and 2 feet of his paw. And finally, I get to the point where I just simply bend over, hold out my hand, and say shake, and the dog shakes. Once he's good there, then what I'll do is I'll start removing the treat. Just gradually, every now and then, I'll withhold a treat, and I won't give it, but I'll give a lot of praise. I'll grab his paw, good boy, give him some praise. Now, from this command, you can actually morph it into a different command, which is wave, or say hello, or whatever command you want to use. And so once you can kind of just put your paw once you can kind of just put your hand, rather, down and he'll offer his paw, then what you can do is you can stop bending over entirely. Stop bending over and instead just offer your hand and say, shake, wave, shake, wave. And the reason they say shake and then wave is because your dog knows shake, and so he might, you know, we'll teach him to wave based on something he already knows. So he already knows what shake means. Then what we can do is we can transfer that and have him understand what wave means. So like I say, I won't even bend over at all. I'll say shake and hold out my paw. Hold out my hand. And as he lifts up his paw, I'll give him a treat and praise him. Good boy. And I'll do that a couple times. And after I've done that a couple times and started to make the transition, then what I'll do is I'll stop saying shake entirely. I'll just kind of hold up my hand and I'll say wave. And as he lifts up his paw to try to shake my hand, I'll give him a treat. And I'll start to show him, hey, we don't even have to, you know, I don't even have to grab your paw on this one in order for you to get the treat. And then what I'll do is I'll gradually get to the point to where I can just wave at the dog and say, wave, wave, and he lifts up his paw and he waves and he waves and I'll give him a treat. And so it's just kind of this natural progression that we teach him one command and gradually build it to where he can do it on a little bit higher level. So those are a couple fun tricks to train. Now the last trick I want to teach you to do is how to do rollover. And in fact, I rarely do rollover. I do what I call bang. And bang is where I make my hand into a gun shape and I say bang and the dog rolls onto his back. Kind of like I shot him and he fell over. Just kind of fun. And the way to do that is I have my puppy lie down. And what I'll do is I'll grab one of his paws just to kind of stabilize him on the ground. And I'll say bang. And as I say bang, my hand that's shaped like a gun kind of pushes him on his side. You know, runs right into his head a little bit. No, you're not hitting him. You're just kind of running into his head. And so the one hand holds his pivot foot and the other hand kind of pushes him onto his back. And the second he gets onto his back, good boy, I'm rubbing his belly, I'm praising him, I'm really just singing his praises, helping him know he did a great thing. And then as time goes on, as you do this a bunch of times, your puppy starts to realize that when he sees that gun shape coming out, he's going to get a belly rub if he just goes on his back. And so you've got to do this in just gradual steps. So, like I say, the tricks that I like to teach are speak, roll over, kiss, shake, and wave. Now, kind of the resounding theme with all of these is you've got to do it in small steps. You know, you've got to be careful because a lot of people, you know, they spend one session with a hot dog trying to teach their dog to shake, and then the next time the dog doesn't do it, and they're like, this dog's stupid. This dog's stubborn. This dog is whatever. But that's not the case. The dog just needs to be shown gradually over a period of time how to do the commands that you want him to do. So, just as a recap, let me just go over the activities again that are fun to teach your dog. Number one, obedience. Teach obedience because it starts the puppy off on the right paw. It's mentally stimulating, which allows for future growth. It calms your puppy, and it helps your puppy understand a good leader-follower relationship. Number two, train the hide-and-seek game. This is also a precursor to search and rescue, should you ever want to do search and rescue. Number three, teach your dog to footstep track. It's a lot of fun. It really wears your dog out, and it really is a good way to teach your puppy how to use his nose. Number three, work on basic agility. Very basic things in your backyard or at your park that your puppy can have good successes with and really enjoy working along side by side with you and building that bond. And the last thing, teach your dog tricks. Teach your dog to speak on command. Teach him to kiss. Teach him to shake or wave, or teach him even to roll over. Now, if you do these things, number one, these are all fun activities that your puppy really enjoys. Number two, they're really great ways to bond. Number three, they're really great ways to teach your dog that leader-follower relationship because you're the one teaching and your dog is the one following. If you can work on these things, you're going to have just a great time interacting and bonding with your puppy. So, happy training.